I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Chelsea Haberlin joins me again. She's directing the world premiere of Catherine Gautier's Meeting. From It's a Zoo and Pacific Theatre, this play invites the audience into a meeting of a support group taking place in a room at the Chalmers Heritage Building, which is home to a Pacific Theatre that often hosts meetings like this. The play offers a look into what happens in a codependence, love, and sex addicts anonymous meeting. And the conversations are often frank, challenging, nuanced, and personal. I'll ask Chelsea about what happens in the piece and what we might take out of the peer group experience. There's a lot of trust as well as navigating of trauma at meetings like this, not to mention the contending of stigma. There are explicit discussions of trauma, abuse, sex, and sexual behavior. Visit itsazoo.org. For tickets and information, the show begins Wednesday, the 14th of May, and runs until the 7th of June. Meeting stars Marcus Youssef, Carmela Sisson, Chris Lamb, Caitlin Williams, and Sebastian Archibald. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Chelsea Haberlin. Miss Haberlin, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. This is such a fascinating idea for a show meeting. So you have on stage, I guess we'll see, Catherine Gautier, the playwright, and the writer. The writer and the actor. And what happens in the course of the show? I mean, there is a part of it where the audience can participate. Is that right?
No, there is not an audience participation part, but there is very close proximity between the audience and the space. So the show is tells the story of a sex and love addicts support group. And so it's a number of people, five people, who meet together in a very small meeting room. And rather than performing it in the Pacific Theater space, they're actually performing it in a small meeting room in this building. I'm in the building right now, so I say this building. And it's a small meeting room where these sorts of meetings actually happen, as well as like dance classes and, you know, knitting circles and all that. And the audience is sitting within feet of the actors acting. So it's very immersive and in real time, it all kind of plays out. So the audience feels very much a part of it.
And that's a fascinating a space to have it in, obviously, because it's similar to a space where, I guess, meetings like this do happen in a place like
that's
that, right?
That's right. That's right. It is exactly where these kinds of meetings happen. So we could have tried to recreate the space in the theater, or we can be in that actual space, which is the thing that It's a Zoo does.
Now, you mentioned it's for sex addicts and love addicts, codependents as well?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we all know what sex is. What's the love part? I was confused about that. Is that someone seeking affection or desperate to be liked? Is that the sort of person that would attend a meeting like that?
Yeah, so it's someone who is addicted to love. And you know, my understanding of what that means is that it is a person who is kind of addicted to the pursuit of love. Mm. So they often, people who, you know, identify as love addicts will often be in pursuit of partners who are not available. So partners, people who are married or in relationships or are emotionally unavailable or who are have addiction issues of their own. And so there is something about this pursuing of a love that is unattainable that feels like all gives a high and feels satisfying, but, you know, in itself is not actually love.
Well, what do you think this piece says about, I guess, the sort of hang-ups or, say, deviances that we might have? I mean, I guess, in a way, the people that go to, say, an anonymous meeting like this, I guess, they're just looking for acceptance, aren't they?
Yeah, so, I mean, essentially, all of the people who come into this room, in our play specifically, are looking to be better. They're all people who identify that their behaviors and their feelings and their actions are making their lives difficult. They're harming other people. They're harming themselves. They're not well. And so they come into this room to support each other and to pursue a healthier life where they can be in a healthy, functional relationship with someone else. I will say, like, I'm not an expert on this. I've done a fair bit of research in order to be able to direct the play, but I have, you know, not participated in one of these groups myself. I wouldn't consider myself an expert in this area. Mm. And also, I will say that the playwright says, the playwright who you cast, Gauthier, who did do a lot of research, was pursuing a counseling degree and worked with a lot of psychologists and therapists to create the piece, attended a lot of groups in the creation of the piece. Kat has said, and says in the prologue, mm-hmm. Something that's read aloud, says that she would hate for people to think that this is actually what a healthy support group looks like, that the support group that we're portraying on stage is not the most functional version of a support group. If someone were to go to Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, it would be perhaps less dramatic than what we're portraying, but likely a lot healthier. So I just feel like I, you know, need to offer that as well.
I gather there's humor and fun in the piece as well.
Yeah, it is funny, and it's not a play that like has jokes, but it's a play that has a lot of kind of situational comedy. Like, it's kind of unbelievable some of the things that you see unfold in front of you, and so there are these moments of comic relief that happen through the actions of the character being so feeling so like outrageous, and yet for the characters being very motivated and real.
That's the thing about, I guess, being in a group like this, and the idea is that it's peers and not, say, a counselor or a shrink, if you will.
That's right.
Yeah, and, you know, I was thinking as I was preparing for our chat, you know, one of the funniest ones was the this sort of group depicted, an intervention, but I guess that was more of an intervention than an actual peer group, was one on The Sopranos when they tried to get Christopher to stop using drugs. And thinking about that, it's just that when people are brought together, regardless of say, because we're all coming into these things, you know, with different life situations, and you know, if it's an addiction, you know, people are at different points in their addiction, right? You know, human nature, I guess, at that moment when it comes together and it just collides together like that. I mean, the what happens is just, you know, as you just said a moment ago, it's unbelievable sometimes, isn't it? But what draws our personalities out and our who we are.
Absolutely. People do and say truly outrageous things. And a lot of the things in the script where we went, well, why would somebody do that?
Yeah.
Kat said, well, I saw that happen. Like, that's why I put it in here. I saw it happen in a group, and I couldn't believe that that was real. And so those, you know, people do wild things in pursuit of a healthy, fulfilling life.
The other thing I couldn't help think, Chelsea, as I was preparing for a chat, is that a show like this might give us some insight into why people don't go into therapy, if you will.
I don't know. I think if you believe this group, if you perceive this group as what therapy might be like, or what a support group might be like, yeah, I wouldn't want to go there. But I think that we are imploring the audience to please not think of this. A lot of people in the room with us, a lot of the actors and people on the team have done a lot of therapy. I've done a lot of therapy, and my experiences have been much more healing and appropriate than what we are portraying in this play, for sure.
I guess that's the point of it, that we need to be better in different aspects in our life, and a lot of us are looking to heal, aren't we? And I think this show really puts that at the fore, doesn't it?
I think that's the thing really for me that is valuable about this piece. There's kind of two big questions for me that this play is asking, and one of them is, or one of the things that I think it's proposing is, if we don't name the difficult things that are happening in our brains and to us It doesn't mean that they don't exist. It just means that they're controlling us and controlling our actions without actually being worked through and exercised. And so I think this play is saying, hey, we need to name the things. We need to do the things. And we need to work through the things that we find unnameable. And this play is offering a catharsis to the audience in that way. But I think it's also just saying, if you relate to this piece, then, you know, maybe talk about it. And, you know, I do. I think most people will in some way relate to the piece. And, you know, the other, I think, big question that the piece is asking is a question about who do we allow to participate in the tribe? Like, who do we say can continue to participate in society, and who do we say is bad and cannot be a part of it? Mm. And so, you know, that's a huge question in our society all the time around, you know, people who do things that we perceive as harmful and bad, or believe things that we perceive as harmful and bad. So I this play kind of really gets into those ethical questions quite deeply.
These are important things to think about. I mean, as we think about, say, how we talk to one another, in not just in a situation like this, but in our culture, in our politics, as we try to police other people's behavior, which a lot of us do, you know what I mean? We're not supposed to, but we do.
Absolutely.
This is a great insight into what to say.
Mm-hmm. It really isn't like, you know, I think we are living in a time, we all know this, where we are becoming very polarized. We're not doing a very good job living in the gray, because most of our discourse occurs on the internet, and then the internet and social media does not allow for gray, it allows for black and white. And so I think, you know, theater in general and pieces like this ask us to just live in that murky place of not knowing and further inquiry and listening and questioning and finding compassion and empathy and all of those things that the arts, I think, give us. This play really, really evokes that and offers that to an audience.
You know, in that last question, I talked about how to talk to people, but I guess it really is about listening, isn't it? As somebody who's talked to people over the years, listening is always the first skill, isn't it? And I'm sure as the director meeting, you've probably, there's some lessons in listening in this piece, aren't there?
Yeah, there are. And so often people in this piece are listening to respond or listening to kind of listening with a lot of history and judgment already in their mind or with their own baggage already in their mind. And when they are most successful in their empathy towards each other is when they are genuinely listening. And, you know, I have the very cool job as a director to listen, you know, just really listen hour after hour after hour, just really listen to the play. And I think that is so, just so important. And I think we definitely see that play out in the show.
I forgot to ask, how big is the room?
Oh, gosh, it's a really good question. It'll seat about 50 people, but I don't actually know the actual size of the room. It's small, so audience can be within a couple feet of the actors, but we also have a set of risers. So if people feel more comfortable being 10 feet away, that's an option as well.
Yeah. And it was important to put it in a room like this, in a building where meetings like this happen, right?
It was important to us, and it was important to the zoo, because this zoo has a mandate to produce immersive, site-specific theater for daring audiences. So this zoo tells stories that are challenging and doesn't allow the audience to look away or disengage. And the way that they do that is by putting you inside the story, not having you sit outside of it the way that you would, like, in a traditional proscenium setting. You actually are smelling it and feeling it, and like your body is in it. And there's something about that proximity of body that encourages a deeper listening and a deeper engagement that Itsuzu has become known for. So it felt important for that company to do it in this way.
I just wanted to reflect for a moment on coming out of the pandemic. I mean, I remember 5 years ago, you know, meetings like AA meetings or, you know, Addiction Anonymous meetings like this that's depicted in meeting couldn't take place in person. You work in the theater, and a lot of shows were shuttered because of the pandemic. The idea of gathering together in a room, that's obviously very important. And I guess, how did you deal with not being able to do that for a while?
Yeah, it honestly sucked. It felt for us in the theater like, why are we making art? Like, the thing that we uniquely do is gather live bodies in space. And what is it that we offer that is valuable when we can't do that? Because, like, you know, our alternative was to turn to digital, but, like, we don't make movies. Like, that's not the thing that we do in the theater. It's just not what I do. And so it was a really tough time of reinventing. I was very reticent to move to digital and, you know, kind of got coerced into it and did a bit of it. But as soon as there was the opportunity to be back in person with each other, we were right back there. It's the thing that we offer.
And nothing beats that. I mean, that feeling of being in a room with another person, and it, especially in anonymous meetings like this. It's hard to do that digitally or electronically. That you do have to gather in a room like that room in the Pacific Theater, right?
Yeah, it's a lot easier to opt out when you're online, right? Like, you can technically be at the meeting, but you can also be checking your email, or you can be, you know, like you can turn your screen off. Like, there's so many ways that you can not be present when you're sitting in a room with somebody in a circle. Or next to them, there's no hiding. Like, you're the embodiment is happening. Your body is there. You're smelling it. Like, it's a different kind of call to presence.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, people have to get to a meeting from their house, mm-hmm. wherever they're living, mm-hmm. and you've taken the trouble to get the bus or drive down there. When you're in the moment, obviously you are going to share, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you're not going to talk to a stranger about things on the street, maybe, but in a setting like that, you feel free to do that, if you will.
Yeah, that's right, totally.
It's been such a pleasure talking to you today. Break a leg, as I say, with the show, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
The website for tickets and information is at itsazoo.org. Meeting by Catherine Gauthier is at the Chalmers Heritage Building, the Pacific Theater here in Vancouver, from the 14th of May through to the 7th of June. It's director Chelsea Haberlin. Join me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Flatter.